We have been going through a series, and we have just about 2 months, less than 2 months left in this series. We are coming to the end of the book of Matthew, and it's been a long journey. But the series title is, actually we don't have it on the screen today, but the series title is Hail to the King. And today, the title of today's sermon is Hail King of the Jews, but it's in quotes, and we'll see why today. And so, why don't we turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 27, and we'll be reading starting from verse 24. And I want to encourage everyone, if you have your Bibles, to open it up, whether it be a hard copy or whether it be on your phones. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Starting in verse 24. This is the reading of God's word. So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. And all the people answered, His blood be on us and on our children. Then he released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisted together a crown of thorns. They put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. Amen. Have you ever been bullied? Think back on a time in your life, and maybe it might be even happening now. But have you ever been bullied? I know that I was bullied on multiple occasions. I was smaller in size when I was younger. I'm still smaller in size in some ways, like compared to some people. I was different by my skin color when I was growing up. I was looked down upon because I dressed funny. There was a time, I don't know why, but when I was in elementary school, I was dressed in purple shorts and a purple top with a collar, and people were making fun of me about it. I was bullied in multiple ways, at multiple times in my life. I don't know if you guys have experienced anything like this in your past, but this is a problem that society has been talking about, whether it be through the news or maybe online on social media. This idea of bullying has come up quite often, and it's a problem that a lot of people want to try to deal with. And sometimes when we talk about bullying, we're talking about bullying in terms of children and their experience and what they go through. But it's not just limited to children, right? Some of us may testify about how even as adults we experience bullying. And the bullying may come from maybe our bosses. Maybe bullying comes from family members. Maybe even from our parents at times. Maybe bullying comes from the majority culture, or maybe from a larger nation against a smaller nation. Maybe bullying comes from friends or people that you supposedly call friends, or from coworkers. Maybe bullying even comes from within the church. And it leaves us feeling like we're not good enough. It leaves us feeling like we don't belong, or like we're not able to progress in life. This is not just an issue that we face personally, but bullying is an issue that we face not just at this small scale of me and myself, but also between nations, there is bullying that's going on. And the big question is, how do we deal with bullying? And I believe that it's probably a Christian that first started addressing this issue. And now it's become popularized in the media and things like that. But the question still remains, how do we deal with this idea of bullying? Now in today's passage, there is a type of bullying that's going on, and it leads to someone's death. And I don't want to say that today, I want to be clear that today's sermon is not we're not going to be addressing the full range of bullying and all the effects and all the causes and all these things. We're not going to go into all of those details, but we're going to look at today's passage and we're going to see how Jesus was mocked. And we're going to be focusing on this idea of mocking. This idea of how people make fun of another person, or they do it against them. They do it in a way, maybe they're not laughing, but then they're doing it in a way to put other people down. And that's what we want to focus on today. So the main idea for today is, and I think we have a screen for this. The main idea for today is, be confident in who you are in Christ. And I want to be clear that this main idea is not just for people that have been bullied, but it's also a statement, an idea for those people that have bullied others. And the main idea again is to be confident in who you are in Christ. The three points that we want to go over today are the pattern of mocking, the problem of mocking, and the power against mocking. All right, so once again, the main idea is be confident in who you are in Christ. And the three points are the pattern of mocking, the problem behind mocking, and the power against mocking. All right, so the first point, the pattern of mocking. This is the idea of bullying and mocking is not only something that happens today where we have to address it today, but it is something that happened even back in the time of Scripture. And so this, you know, Matthew is really interesting because he takes a good amount of time to put some space here on the pages of Scripture to talk about this idea of mocking. And it's not just because he's just describing what's going on, but Matthew has a point here. And one of the things that he wants to show is that this is a prophecy that's being fulfilled. Jesus knew that this was going to happen. And so even if we look back at Matthew chapter 20, verses 18 and 19, this is what it says. It says, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem." This is Jesus speaking. And he says, "And the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And he will be raised on the third day." You see, Jesus was already prophesying. He was already telling the people, this is what's going to happen. It's not just that I'm just going to die, but there's this process that's going to be involved. And he mentions, especially in this verse, that he will be flogged, he'll be mocked, and he'll be crucified, but also that he'll be raised on the third day. Now, let's jump back to today's passage. In today's passage, we see the soldiers. And the soldiers, it's not just the Roman soldiers that mocked. Actually, if we look back in previous passages, what we'll find is that it's not just the soldiers, these Romans, but it's the Jews that started mocking Jesus. And in today's passage, we see the Romans mocking Jesus. And it's these soldiers, they show up and they do multiple things. They actually strip him naked and then they put a robe on him. And it says it's a purple robe. Some scholars say that maybe it would have been kind of a scarlet, purplish. In this passage, it says scarlet. But then in other passages, it talks about how they put a purple clothing on him. And so this idea is that there's this color of royalty that they put on him. And not only that, they put a crown of thorns. they put a reed in his hand, and it's supposed to be his scepter. And then they start bowing down to him, and it's just this way that they're making fun of him. They say, "You're supposed to be the king of the Jews. Okay, king of the Jews. We're gonna bow before you and we're gonna say, Hail, king of the Jews. We're gonna acknowledge you as the king because you're supposed to be king, right?" And they take the reed away and they just start hitting him on the head with it. And reed, when we think about a reed, it's maybe flimsy on top, but then it could also be kind of hard on the bottom. They would stick a bunch of reeds together to make different, things like boats and, different things in the old times. And so they would take the reed and they would give it to him, and it seems like it's a strong, a king is supposed to have this scepter of metal and is supposed to show his authority, but then they put this reed in his hand and it's just swaying back and forth, and they're just mocking him. They're making fun of him. Even though they're saying the right words, "Hail, King of the Jews," but they don't mean it. And even though it's true that he is the king, but in this episode, they're making fun of him and they're declaring by their actions, even though they're saying it with their words, but by their actions, they're showing that they don't really mean it. And so Jesus, even though he was beaten and mocked, and even though he really was the king, even though he is God, he didn't open his mouth. He didn't say a word. What he did was he took it. He took the beating. He took the mocking. He was bullied. He was yelled at. He was made fun of. All of these things happened to him. Now, if we were to think about how Jesus went through all that, maybe some of us here today can identify to some degree of what Jesus Christ went through. Maybe some of us have gone through being yelled at or made fun of or looked down upon. Maybe we've heard the words like, you know, "Who do you think you are? Do you think you're some great person?" Maybe some of us have heard the words that are talking in a way where it's like it's mocking us, or maybe they just said it outright. "You're stupid." And maybe some people cursed at us. And some of us can identify with something to some degree of what Jesus Christ has gone through. Maybe some of us were on the other side, where we were the ones making fun of people, where we were the ones that hurt people. Maybe we were the mockers. When we go through these types of experiences, maybe the world has some type of solution, or maybe we try to come up with some type of solution. How do we deal with this? How do we deal with all the mocking that's going on, all the ways that people hurt each other in this way? And sometimes when we find that someone is mocking someone else, when someone is making fun of someone else, we say, "Stop it. Don't do it. That's not right." And maybe we just tell them, you know, "It's just not nice. You shouldn't be doing that." And that's our way of trying to deal with that. And sometimes when we're on the flip side, we try to deal with being mocked or being bullied or being made fun of. And the way that we try to deal with it is we try to find some way to maybe defend ourselves, or maybe we try to find some way to say, "No, that's not me. You're not talking the truth about who I am." But then other times we're not able to stand up for ourselves, and we kind of start to think, "Maybe I am like what they said," and we kind of go off into our little corner and we feel sorry about ourselves, and we just don't know what to do about the situation. We feel helpless and weak. Again, I'm sure a lot of us have faced different kinds of mocking and bullying and being made fun of. And one of the biggest ways that people face it today is that online, on social media, people, whenever they say something online, other people start responding to that, especially if it's something about some kind of belief. Maybe it's in politics or religion or something. And other people begin to respond. And sometimes even with recent topics that have come up on the news, people talk about it. And then you have your friends that are making fun of you or your friends that are speaking against you. And it's just, there's just this thing that's just constantly going on. And so the question is, how do we deal with it? You know, like some people, maybe what they tell people that are going through this, we try to deal with it by saying, you just got to toughen up. Just deal with it. Some people say, like I said this myself, you know, we have to teach our children how to be tough. You know, they're going through bullying. I went through it myself too. Look how I turned out. Right? These are just some of the ways that we try to deal with these situations, and we just tell people, just ignore it, or just, some parents say, just beat them up, you know? We try to find different ways to deal with it. Now, I want to ask the question, do you identify with anything that we're talking about today? Do you identify with the situation where you've been mocked and you just want to fight back because of that? Or you've been mocked and you just feel real sad about that and you go into times of really sad states. Do you identify with this? Or maybe you're on the flip side and you're the one that's bullying people or you're the one that's mocking people. You're the one that's doing these things, but deep inside, you're also dealing with some stuff that's going on in your heart. Do you identify with this? The thing that we want to talk about is what's the deeper issue? What's really going on deep in our hearts? And that's where we come to our second point, the problem behind mocking. The problem behind mocking. Now, I have these words up here, and we're going to talk about this, but I just want to just real quick say, when a person is doing the mocking, I read a couple articles online saying that, you know, it's a result of their own family background and how they grew up and what they experienced when they were younger. And there's all these kinds of ideas. But the basic idea is that when a person mocks someone else, there's this idea that I am somehow better than you in some way. I want to prove to you. And maybe it's because deep in their heart they're feeling like they're not. But I want to prove to you that in some particular way, I am better than you. And so I'm going to exert my authority or exert my power, my strength, my words, or something to show that I'm better than you. In a similar way, those people that are being mocked have this idea that I am better. I must be better. And so when someone mocks them, they respond by either saying, look, I am better than what you're saying, so I'm going to attack you back. Or the flip side is, I know there's something better about me, but when you tell me this, it just makes me feel like I'm not that. And I just feel like I'm a terrible person. And so there's this continual comparison. There's this idea that's in the mind that says, I'm better than what you're saying. I'm better than what people have said about me. I feel like I'm better. And there's this way that we work through that idea, and we either end up being prideful and fighting people against this bullying that happens, or we end up getting really sad. We don't know what to do about it. What's the deep, deep heart issue? The need that we're all wanting, that we're all looking for, is that we want to be confident. We want to be confident about who we are. It's an issue about identity. Am I good enough? Am I good enough? Now, when we look at today's passage, we want to go a little bit more deeper into the passage, and we want to think about things a little bit more in a theological way. And I want to show you that it's actually coming from Scripture. So I want to point to these ideas here. The problem behind mocking is that when we talk about Jesus, the way that theologians have talked about Jesus and his role, it says that, like, for example, in the Westminster Confession of Faith, it mentions that Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. A prophet is simply a person that speaks God's truth. A king is one who has power and authority. And a priest is one who mediates between God and man. A priest is one who is the go-between and is the person that helps to connect God and man. He's the middle person, the middle man. Right? So the problem behind mocking is that we want to set ourselves up in a certain way and to say that we are somehow the better prophet, that we somehow are the better king, that we somehow are the better priest. Let me explain what that means. So why don't we turn to Matthew chapter 26, verse 66 to 68. Matthew 26, verse 66 to 68. This is what it says. It says, what is your judgment? This is, let me just say a few words real quick. This is the Jewish leaders. They are putting Jesus on trial. That's the background of this passage. It says, what is your judgment? They answered, he deserves death. Then they spit in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, and this is where the mocking comes in, prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you? And so they're mocking him about his prophetic role. What about in Matthew 27, verse 29? We just read this. It says, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. So here they're mocking his kingship. And then in Matthew chapter 27, verse 39 to 40, which we'll be looking at in a later sermon, it says this. It says, and those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Jesus had said in the past that if the temple is destroyed, he'll be able to rebuild it in 3 days. And what he was talking about was himself. What the temple was a place where people could come and meet with God. And this is the role of the priest that we're talking about. And so if we could go to the next slide. What we find is that from these three passages, what we find is the chief priests and elders, the Jewish leaders, they were mocking Jesus about his prophetic role. And basically what they were saying was that we know what's true and you don't. If you are a prophet, then go ahead and prophesy. Let's see if what you say is true. Because what we think is that we are right and you're not. What the Roman soldiers were doing was they were beating Jesus and they were saying, hail, King of the Jews. And they're saying, we actually are the ones that have power over you. You think you're king? Well, look who's getting beaten right now. And then when Jesus was hanging on the cross and the people were going by in front of the cross and they were saying, look, this guy said that he's going to destroy the temple and then rebuild it in 3 days. How can he save himself? Let's see if he saves himself. And the big question here is, you know, if Jesus is supposed to be the great mediator, the great priest, why isn't he able to save himself? If he's supposed to save others, and he's not able to save himself, then who is he to say that he's going to save other people? And they're mocking him in all these ways. Basically, what they're saying is, we're better than you. We're better than you. Look at you, Jesus. You said that you're all of these things. You're nothing. And maybe for some of us, we may identify with some of those accusations where we've heard some of those comments against us. But at the same time, all those that mocked, that we've just pointed at, maybe we can also identify being the mocker of Jesus. Sometimes when we go through difficult times, when we go through hardships in our lives, and we begin to question, we ask things like, is God really out there? Does God really exist? Did God really say that he was going to help me? Because it doesn't seem like he is. Does God really hear my prayers? Is God really the true God? Even as Christians, sometimes we have these doubts in our minds. And we question whether or not what the Bible says is true. And what we say is, I think I know better about truth through my experience, through what I'm going through. And I don't think what this says is true. Sometimes we go through situations where we determine what is right and wrong for our lives. We determine what is good and what is bad for our lives. And we end up mocking Jesus about his power, about his kingship. And we say, I know that you're my king, but I'm going to do things my own way. And what we declare by doing that is that we are our own authority. And there are times that we say, even though Jesus has said that he saves us, we say, I'm crying out to God. I'm asking him to save me. But then as we say that with our actions, we actually say, but I'm going to save myself. God, help me and save me with my finances. And we say, save me. But because we're the king, we're the one that has the truth. We know what's right and wrong, what's good and bad for our lives. We say, but I don't see God helping me to get what I want. So I'm going to do it myself. And so even though with our mouths we say that we declare that Jesus is the king, but with our actions, with our hearts and our attitudes, we actually show that we're mocking Jesus. And our hail to the king actually becomes hail to the king. It becomes a fake statement. And just like how Pilate, in the beginning part of the verses that we looked at, how Pilate said, look, I'm innocent. There's nothing wrong with me because I'm looking to Jesus. I'm a Christian, right? Well, Pilate didn't say that, but then for us, we're saying, I'm innocent because of Jesus, right? But at the same time, we respond just like the people during that time, and we say, he's guilty. Crucify him. May his blood be on us. And what we end up doing over and over again with our lives, and this is something that we fall into over and over. This is something that we can't help but to do. Because we struggle with our flesh. We're not perfect yet. And our hearts will wander from the Lord. What we do with our hearts, even though we're saying, I believe in you, Jesus, I'm praying to you, Jesus, but what we do with our actions and our hearts is that we end up mocking Jesus. And it's just like the old hymn says, behold, I think I have a slide for this. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. Brothers and sisters, friends, when we look at today's passage, I hope that what we're not seeing is what's wrong with these people. But what I hope that we're able to see is, I mock Jesus. I mock Jesus. I'm the one that was crying out, crucify Jesus. It was my sin that held him there. I mock Jesus. Before we deal about how we may mock others or how other people mock us, we have to come to realization that we're the ones that mock Jesus. But if we could go back to Hebrews chapter 4, this is what it says. It says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Even though we mocked Jesus, Jesus shows his love and his care for us. And that's why he was willing to go to the cross, even though we treated him badly. But he was willing to go to the cross, and he was willing to die and shed his blood. And so even though the people protested and they said, we want him crucified, may his blood be on us, in a strange way, Jesus showed his love, and his blood did come upon us. And not to fill us with guilt, but to cleanse us and to give us life. And that's where the power against mocking comes. Because Jesus died for our sins, this is our third point, the power against mocking. Because of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished, what he did was he brought us back to have a relationship with God the Father. And anytime we fall away, even now, anytime we recognize how we mock Jesus, we turn back to Jesus. The promise is still there that we are forgiven and that our identity has been changed. We don't have to strive to tell people that we are good enough. We don't have to try to find some type of self-confidence and be confident in what I can do. We can put our full confidence in Jesus Christ and remember that because of what he did, I am a child of God. I am a person that can be respected. I'm a person that knows right from wrong because of Scripture. I am a person that is honored because of how Jesus Christ accomplished that for me. If we could go to our next slide. Let me read this passage for us. This is a passage from the Old Testament talking about how Jesus Christ was willing to go through all of that for us, all of the mocking and all of the pain. And I highlighted those areas where we also may be involved in mocking Jesus. In Isaiah 53, it says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned away, turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. And like a sheep that before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. So if we could go to the next slide. There is power against mocking. If we would turn to Jesus and realize how we mock him, but also how he has willingly gone through the work of dying on the cross for us, how his blood covers us, if we trust in what he did for us, then there is power against mocking. Because of Jesus, the first thing that we can do is that we can actually give thanks to the Lord for what we've gone through. It sounds crazy because usually our prayers are, you know, Lord, save me. I don't want to go through this anymore. But actually, the first thing that we could do is we can actually thank God that we're going through such suffering because we get to share in Jesus' suffering. We get to understand a little bit of what Jesus Christ went through for me, for us. So because of Jesus, we can have power over mocking by first of all being thankful that we get to share in his sufferings. The second thing is that as we realize what Christ has done for us, we can remember that I was the one that mocked Jesus, and yet he forgave me and established me to be a child of God. And so then I can be humble and realize who I was before, but also be confident in what Jesus Christ has done for me. And so even when I'm mocked, I don't have to fight for my own dignity. I can be confident because of what Jesus Christ has made me to be. I am a child of God. And I don't have to fight against them or make fun of other people or mock other people, because I realize that I mocked Jesus and yet he loved me. And so we can have a humble confidence that I am a sinner, but I am saved. Jesus has saved me. Because of Jesus, we can also begin to bless other people instead of curse. Just the way that Jesus kept silent, by him being silent, he actually was a blessing to his people. And so when people mock us, we don't necessarily have to speak back. We don't have to. Sometimes we should. Sometimes we should be telling people about what is good and bad, about what is right from wrong. But we can actually do it in a way where we're blessing them and not in a way where we're cursing them. And sometimes we could just remain silent. We don't have to defend ourselves. But in this way, just because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, we can bless and not curse. And the last point is that we don't have to be fake saying, "Hail to the King." But we can actually look to Jesus and say, "Jesus, you are my King. You are the speaker of truth, my prophet. You are my priest. You're the reason why I'm able to be with the Father. And in the same way, my King, what you've done for me, I want to do for other people. I want to be a speaker of truth. I want to be a person that shares with people what's right from wrong and point them to the King. I want to be a person that is a mediator between God and man by bringing people to you, Jesus. I want to do that." So brothers and sisters, through Jesus, we can really deal with the mocking that's going on in this world. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much that through what Jesus Christ has done for us, through the gospel, there really is an answer to all of life's problems. Lord, when we find ourselves not finding our confidence in you and we're trying to find confidence in ourselves, Lord, allow us to return back to you and find that we can have confidence through our Lord Jesus Christ because of what he's done for us. And so, Lord, I lift up everyone here. Lord, would you continue to cause us to have faith and trust in you? Would you cause us to find our confidence in you? Lord, would you cause us to rest in what you have done for us? I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. As we sing this song,